Daddy with a microphone, not alone, kicking it live with homeboy Chaz. Got the pizzazz, two blind squirrels and a girl podcasting long lasting. Check out the Brain on Brad.
Check out the Brain on Brad.
It's not.
Check it out.
It's not on you.
What do you mean?
It's in you. The Brain in Brad.
What?
What?
Can you say that?
I don't think it rhymes.
No. But is... I like the line, check out the Brain on Brad.
Oh, okay.
Should it be check out the Brain in Brad? That doesn't make any sense.
It's not as cool.
Plus, I don't want them checking out anything in me. That means they have to tear something apart to see it.
Like an MRI or something?
Yeah. I don't think I don't think the song's about that. Medical procedures or anything.
I see your insurance, please, sir.
You've tuned in to Two Blind Squirrels today. So sit right back and see what Brad and Chaz will say. This show's a lot better than a lot of things today. And here's just to name a few. It's better than no one coming to a birthday party. It's better than no one coming to a funeral. It's better than no one coming to your hospital. It's better than someone calling at 5 a.m.
Two blind squirrels in the morning. Two blind squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand, it's all right.
You know what? You have like guard deer in your front yard.
Three of them.
It's like a little spooky because they move.
Two blind squirrels in the morning. Two blind squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand, it's all right.
So Faith says to me the other day, she says, we really don't have a yard for those deer. She's like, you know, because everybody has these deer now, these lighted Christmas deer, you know.
Actually, we had the deer first. We had those deer first.
Before anybody else bought them?
Yes.
In the entire world. You bought the first three off the line. Is that what you're saying?
I don't have a certificate to prove it.
But you're saying you had them way before they got popular?
Yeah.
Okay. The point is that we come home, and she says, you know, those deer wouldn't look good in our yard because we don't have any big trees over like Charlie, you know, Charlie's neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
They look better over there. They look more natural. I'm like, yeah, because, yeah, white Skeletor deer with electric lights usually hang out with big trees. What? I don't understand. In nature, that's what you see.
It's got the forest scene, though. You have the trees and the foliage and
white Skeletor lighted deer.
Yeah. With butt plugs.
And they move. Their heads move.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, it would look stupid if they just stood there. They're pretty, though. They're pretty. Yeah. Every so often, I had to go out and pick up one of them. Though he falls over.
He gets drunk from nodding his head.
Too many berries.
Too many.
Now, here's the squirrel that you know has deep spiritual thoughts and lots of pizzazz. It's Jazzy Jazz. Jazzy.
Jazz! You know, I remember in sitcoms back in the 80s when a character would walk in, like it would be like 5 minutes into the show, right?
Yeah.
And somebody just walked through the door. And everybody would cheer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, Fonzie.
It's like
when
Fonzie would walk on,
in.
You know, it's like, hey, Fonzie, you know. Uh-huh. And everybody on stage would just kind of wait for the clapping to go down. And it was all staged because there was a sign up telling them to clap.
Yeah.
That would beat me so bad. I'm like, you're ruining the illusion that this is, that I'm tuning into somebody's life.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, everybody knew it was a show. I mean.
It just ruined the illusion.
Hmm. So what are you saying? You shouldn't play that music. You shouldn't play you shouldn't play my theme song.
No, it's okay for us to do it. I'm just saying in the 80s it was bad.
In the 80s.
This is retro.
There were a lot of things in the 80s that were bad.
Yeah. But it seemed to be okay now.
Yeah.
It's retro now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get started into our topic for today. Hello, Way. Are you okay there?
Yeah.
You all right?
A little bit of the pre-Christmas cold.
A pre-Christmas cold.
Yeah.
We've got a request. Can I say this properly? I don't want to make anybody mad or hurt anybody's feelings.
A request?
Yeah, it's just a gentle, it's a gentle request.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? When you, we love to get calls on our K7 phone line. We do.
Yeah.
Numbers right there on the top of the Two Blind Squirrels webpage. And we love to get calls. We love to get comments. Love it.
Give it.
Love. We love the ones that are 5 minutes long. And we love the ones that are 8 minutes long. We love the ones that are 17 minutes long.
Yeah.
They, I don't think you can leave a message long. But the point is that we love getting messages. But to play them on the show,
yeah,
we really need them to be under a minute.
Oh, okay.
So that's just my request. It's just a please. If you want them to be played on the show.
Okay.
If you don't. Try to keep them under a minute.
If you don't, just call and leave a little.
If you got a, if you got a lot to say, you want us to tell, great. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it's all about the sound bites.
It's all
sound bites.
Because
snacks,
it cuts
bites.
Into my talk time. You know, I'm going to get right down to what's going on here.
Got to prioritize.
That's
these
right,
things.
Man. It's like, you know, hey, you want to do a podcast? Go right ahead.
Just, well, what we should do, though?
Yes.
Here's my suggestion.
What is your suggestion?
We take. Let's say we had a call.
Yes.
I'm making up numbers here. Let's say we had a call that was 4 minutes long.
Okay.
I think we should take that call and we break it up into 1 minute segments and we play them 1 minute at a time on each show.
Okay.
So if we just say, "All right," and we have a call in from whoever, and here's the first minute of their call.
Do you think that'd be a little frustrating? Cut them off in like mid-word?
Yeah. Well, all right. Well.
And I think Chaz was completely wrong about that situation, and he should just buy. And you got to find out that, you know.
Tune in next time.
Yeah. Bicycle around the block to see if he could do it that fast. You know what I mean?
Well, they did that in the 80s, too. They had the whole, you know, to be continued.
No, that's true.
Yeah. That was classic. That was before TiVo, man. If you didn't catch the separate second or third piece of that.
Yeah.
You had no idea what was going on.
Right.
You were totally lost.
And you didn't have TiVo back then.
No.
So there was like.
That's what I said.
Oh, did you say that? Sorry. I was paying attention to what I was going to say next. I wasn't thinking about you. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, man. Yeah.
Now, what are we going to talk about in this show?
Well, I was going to play a message.
Oh. Was that a lead-in?
I didn't want to poke the person in the eye I was going to play the message of, but it prompted me to bring it up. So here we go. And I don't know who left this message either. I haven't listened to it.
Hey, this is Tracy. I'm calling for two reasons. One is to tell Faith she did a fantastic job on the podcast.
Yay, Faith.
Yeah, Faith did do, and she did a good job, and we had an excellent response, and I really appreciate her doing the show with me, she, even though she was completely sick.
And I have listened to every one of those shows and absolutely loved them.
You're such a big, fat liar.
I will listen to every one of those shows.
Now that I believe.
And love them.
And love them.
And I really thought she was very funny, and she really had me cracking up. And to hear Brad and Faith bantering against each other, it was very funny, and it was really cute. So I'm really looking forward to coming out there and meeting you, Faith. I hope you're feeling better. But you did a wonderful job, and I'm really glad that you filled in. And, you know, you definitely, you know, really made me smile and made me laugh.
We have a weird banter because I don't want you to take this wrong, but she is very submissive in that she's not submissive in a timid way. She's not a timid person at all.
No.
But if we ever get into an argument, she's always mindful to be submissive, and I think that shows a lot of power and strength in her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So when we banter, or when I encourage her to banter, It's not uncomfortable. It's weird.
Yeah.
Because she gets very uncomfortable, and she will, you know, like after the show, she'll go, "Was that okay?" You know, you know. Because I was like, "Yeah, that was great." You know,
I slapped you around. Is it okay?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, all right, moving on.
I wanted to call in about the worship music. You know, everybody knows that I lead worship anyway, so it's kind of expected. I'd have something to say about it. But I don't like choirs. I can't get into the choir thing. I can't get into the hymnals. I like hymns, but I don't like the hymnals. I don't like having to focus on reading a book.
Now, can you have a hymn without a hymnal? It seems like the hymn comes from the hymnal. A hymnal is just full of hymns.
She likes hymns, but she don't like the hymnal?
It's like the hymns, but not the hymn. It's like I like the beer, but not the case of beer. I mean, I don't understand.
Well, she said she didn't like the book. She didn't like, feel like she's reading a book.
Ah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Before you stopped, that's what she said.
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening to her. I was just paying attention to what I was going to say next.
And picking up first, third, and fourth stanza kind of thing. I'm not into that. But I do like to see the words up on the wall or on the screen so that it gives me a chance to just kind of read them and just focus on what I'm thinking about.
It's the same words.
It's the same words on the wall as in the hymnal. It's a hymn wall or hymnal? Hymn wall, hymnal. I know what she means. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
The real reason I wanted to talk about the worship was because I'm sure a lot of people are going to probably call in or write on the board about what kind of music they like. But really, the one thing that really kind of gets to me about this is people focusing on the worship, not really on the focusing on the worship team, not so much the music. And what I mean by that is I was just telling somebody the other day that, you know, very often on Saturday nights when I sing, somebody will say something to me when they see me leaving with my tambourine, and they'll say, oh, I love seeing you with the tambourine, or, oh, you sound so pretty today, or whatever. And that's very touching, and it's really complimentary, and I do appreciate it a lot. But it's a little bit, I don't know, disappointing that that's what they were looking at, that they weren't really focusing on the worship. And it's not that I don't think they focused on the worship the whole time. It's just that I guess because I hear it pretty often that it just kind of leads me to believe that they're missing the point of why I'm up there. And
I agree with what she's saying.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage her to realize that not everybody's in that place. You know? I mean, what I'm saying is that some people worship in hymns.
Yeah. What's the matter?
It was just a giant flash out your window.
My deer catch on fire?
No, that was really weird. Some people worship in hymns. Some people worship in prayer. Some people worship in their hearts.
Yeah.
I know what she's talking about because she worships the way I worship, and she likes some kind of thing I do. I like for my worship leader to be almost anonymous to me. You know, it's like I didn't even notice him today. You know,
that's
how I know. You know, that was like, oh, that was the best. But at the same time, his job is almost essential. I mean, to be a good worship leader, and you know, you've got to be able to lead people without being noticed. It's the weirdest thing, and when it happens, it's great. But there are days when I am so frustrated with myself, or so in not the right place. Okay,
mm-hmm.
There are days I come to church, and I'd rather be at home sulking, you know, or you know, something like that. You know, just saying.
Yeah.
And it is those days that just listening to Darren's voice sing. Mm-hmm. Is so ministering to me and so comforting to me, and so are seeing Burnett smile while she sings a song and how happy she is in the Lord, and remembering that and connecting with that, and pulls me through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand what she's saying, but I just want to encourage her to think that, you know, hey, sometimes the Lord will use you in ways that you may not want to be used.
That's good.
You know, when I'm leading worship, it's not, you know, about a performance. Even when I have to sing something on my own and I have to lead a song, you know, I really kind of water it down a lot because in what I could do with the song, because I don't want it to be a performance. I want people to join in, and I want them to get into the most holy place, and that's really what it's about. So that's really, you know, why I wanted to talk about the worship a little bit, and I'll probably say something on the board if it comes up, but... anyway, so that's what my two cents is, if that's what it's worth. So talk to you guys later. Bye.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. You know, it's so funny because the old people are such the opposite. Old people, my grandmother, is such the opposite way because, you know, she doesn't like – she will say a comment like, yeah, you know, he's okay. He's not a very good singer, you know, when he's intentionally singing in a way that will not call attention to himself.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate, and she completely doesn't. Oh, and then yeah. At the same time, there will be somebody up there who's singing who just so oversings.
Sure.
And just like, you're like, oh my goodness, you know.
Right.
And at the end, you know, my grandmother will say, doesn't she have just a beautiful voice? And I'll say, yeah, it's great, you know. But I got nothing out of it, you know. Yeah. So I completely understand what she's talking about there.
Yep, don't want to be a distraction.
All right, well, let's get into this topic. You want to get into this topic? It's kind of a...
What is it?
Well, before we get into this topic... Oh, my goodness, that's loud. Hold on. I had to turn up Gracie there to hear it. Before we get into this topic, let's talk about this right here, because this kind of leads into this topic. This is a comment from Bethany. She says, I love your podcast, guys. However... Monkeys do not have rights. They are not allowed. They are not endowed with the creator. Is this the one I wanted to read? Yeah, this is.
Yeah.
They're not endowed with their creator with an inalienable rights, which much less those of life, liberty, and the pursuit of anything. Even butt monkeys, I think, pretty much fall into that category.
Well, this was our cloning of the monkey.
Oh.
And we asked, is it right to clone monkeys?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the way we really get monkeys? And I made a comment about they have the life. Don't they have the right to the life of liberty? Okay, I got you. Yeah. I remember where she's coming from now. All right, well, I was just being funny. I didn't really mean they had rights. Okay.
Animal rights.
There's what?
Yeah, animal rights.
Don't get me started on this because I get hate mail whenever I get into it.
It's animal rights. They have their, you know, how people treat animals is direct correlation to how they're going to treat people.
But you don't treat animals based on the value of that animal. You treat animals based on the value the Lord places on you and the standard he holds you to. When you're mean to an animal, it's more about what you're doing to yourself than what you're doing to that animal.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. So now I'm going to get a hate mail. You made me say it. Okay. But here's what I want to talk about. She says, please don't feel like you need to be serious most, some, or even any of the time. At least not on my account. Personally, I listen to Blind Squirrels and not some other podcast, Jesus Geek, because they are just too serious. You could go a long time without getting into something as theologically controversial as the gifts of the Spirit. Just my opinion for what it's worth. Well, we appreciate your opinion.
Yeah. I didn't think that show was particularly heavy, did you?
I don't know. I guess it was the topic, because she specifically mentioned something is heavy, and it's theologically controversial. I didn't realize that the gifts of the Spirit were theologically controversial. Why can't I say that word?
I don't know. You're somewhere between controversial and conservative.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what I was trying to say there. I didn't know that the gifts of the Spirit were controversial.
Why should they be?
I don't know. I just got them from that passage, so I don't remember what it was now, but I quoted it as Corinthians. Corinthians is 12, I believe.
So you got them out of the Bible, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Maybe it's the way I was looking at them or something.
The interpretation.
I apologize, but I will defend my right to be sober-minded whenever I want to. That too. I will defend my right to be serious when I want to be.
Oh.
By golly.
Should we do a show about that?
Sometimes we need to talk about it.
Should we do a serious show about that?
We should do a serious show about being serious. But I am. Sometimes I get passionate about topics, and I'm passionate about this topic we're fixing to talk about.
Well, that's fine.
Do we need to issue a warning? You know, like we have the Wilkerson warning. Maybe we need a Bethany warning when we're going to have a serious topic.
I don't know. You're beating me down with these warnings. I don't know. Can't we just do the show?
Maybe we should need a sound effect for the warning, right? So, I don't know what the sound effect would be. You know. Oh.
The following is a serious topic in which jokes and stuff like that, mayhem and hilarity, may not ensue directly into the podcast during a period of time in which the topic will be discussed. Please hold all your letters, comments, and considerations for a later date when the show will be more entertaining or funny. Thank you.
He does that pretty well.
He did that pretty well.
You know, he's taking classes down at the community college for a bailiff position.
No, that's bailing. Bailing position.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he gets confused sometimes. Yes. All right, well, this topic is called, we've entitled it, Truth in Advertising.
Yes.
Because it because when we originally brought it up, it ended in truth in advertising.
Now lead us off.
But I love the topic.
Because I've forgotten how this goes.
Well, I was talking about how we tend to be focused in our culture, in our society, on secondary causes, and nobody really talks about the primary cause anymore. And it started off with you telling a story about something. What? And I'd completely forgotten what it was. Oh, did I write it down?
All right.
Did I write it down?
No.
Oh, by golly.
I thought it started with you.
It was about gas. You were getting gas. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. I said, I got to get gas. We need gas.
You said, we need gas.
And you said, I don't need gas. You need gas.
Yeah. And that's how it started. And then he got out and got gas. And while he was out, I was going, that's just like what I've been thinking about with this whole secondary causes business. It's like the fact that you need gas is a secondary cause, right? The primary cause is I need to get to work.
And if you don't get to work because I didn't have gas,
yeah,
you're still late for work.
Exactly.
Your boss isn't going to care that sure. I didn't get gas.
Right.
Which is the primary or the secondary cause?
I don't remember. But the point is that the conversation led to us talking about the fact that the primary cause, when we refer to that in theological terms, is God, right? But in philosophy, generally, philosophy has always been completely obsessed with primary cause. I mean, that was the reason for its existence, the reason for science. I mean, the reason for everything was to investigate primary cause. Socrates had his prime mover, and Plato had, you know, the ultimate form. And so you have these, and even before that, you had Thales thinking that the primary cause was water. I mean, you always had these people trying to figure out what caused all of this. What's the thing that binds us all together? What is the existential, or the sequential element, you know, the thing that pulls everything together. You know what I'm saying? They thought it was water because water could move by itself. It had all three forms in it. It could be liquid. It could be solid. It could be gas, and it could move. They thought it moved by itself because rivers. They didn't understand gravity, you know, like we do. So they saw rivers run. They saw the tide come in and out. You know, they didn't know why. They just thought water moved, right? Hmm.
Yeah,
and then if you let water sit for a little while, stuff will grow in it. So it has the ability to create life. So my point is that even from the beginning of philosophy and from the beginning of science and the beginning of the study of our world, it's always been consumed with primary causes up until
recently.
Yeah, until the age of what do you even call it, Darwinism or the Renaissance or whatever, when it was decided to do away with the primary cause. And this is sort of a rebellion, I guess, against the strict
overreaching hand of the church.
Yeah. How it was people wanted to get outside its confines, and they could, so you couldn't deal with God because you had to go through the church for that. They were like this, you know. So you couldn't say, well, wait a minute. God did this and this. No. Because it's like the whole Galileo thing. No, the earth is the center of the universe because the church says it is.
Right.
Not because your telescope tells you it ain't. Well, because of arguments like that, scientists went outside and said, okay, forget primary cause because it affects the church and the church is going to come cut my head off. Okay.
Right.
Let's just talk about secondary causes. Well, that led to a whole thinking process that way. And then it followed very quickly that science was all of a sudden consumed with secondary causes. They were more concerned with the parents getting together and how the parents getting together and what they were doing in the bedroom that caused the baby versus how the baby or why we exist in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And besides that, secondary causes are very easy to measure, and the whole scientific method and all that kind of stuff developed. And so you could measure secondary causes and all that kind of stuff. But it's gotten to the point now where we don't have. I mean, the first academy, the word academy comes from academus, which is Socrates' original college, right? And it was put together to study being, to study the primary cause.
So you're saying we don't have that anymore? We don't do that anymore.
Dude, people go all the way through college and never learn what ontology – you never take a class on ontology. Never even know what the word means. I mean, I went through college. I didn't know what the word meant when I got out. I'd never heard the word.
And then that, like that L. Ron Hubbard book or something?
No. No, you know, ontology is the study of being, and people don't talk about teleology, you know, the purpose. They don't talk about these things in college. There's no biblical ethics, you know, taught anymore. Or like, you're not even required to take a class on ethics in college anymore. I mean, I went to the business. I went for a while. My major was business management or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had to take in one of my classes, there was a chapter called Ethical Business. Okay, it was like a section of the book. It wasn't a chapter. You know how books are broken, like some textbooks are broken into parts.
Yeah, volume one, volume two.
Well, this is more like but this is a textbook and it had different sections. And one of the sections was biblical ethics, business ethics, or ethics in business. And it was all about not getting sued. The whole chapter was about
how to skirt the line.
Yeah, it wasn't really about ethics.
Yeah,
it was about how to stay within the law.
Oh,
even if the law's changed.
Yeah,
I mean that was the point of it, of saying, you know, what is the rule, you know, that, you know, that will make sure that you're on solid ground when you go to court. You know, it wasn't about ethics really. It was about pragmatical ethics, or, you know, the practical side of that, of saying, you know, how do you stay out of trouble? Not how do you do the right thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's two totally different things.
So we went from there to, go ahead.
Well, you brought up the fact that, go ahead. How did we get to the advertising part?
Well, that's what we did next. We were saying, we were talking about, because we don't learn biblical ethics in school and it's not taught in business, then businesses and corporations don't operate under biblical ethics. They operate under a more pragmatic ethic, you know. In other words, you don't advertise, our burgers are worthy of worship. Not because it's unethical to do so, but because a section of the population finds that offensive. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to offend them, so we better not say that. Let's just show the burger and say, I'm loving it. You know,
yeah.
We're not really loving it in this, you know, in a strict sense of the word love.
So you're saying that they...
we just want to plant that seed in
there. They'll say whatever they can... They'll say whatever they can get away with in order to get the result that they want.
Sure.
So is that it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, look at this. Look at it this way. There's a show in Showtime called Dexter.
Okay? Dexter's Laboratory?
No, that's a different show.
It's a cool show.
That's a cool show.
I love that show.
Yeah, but that's on the Cartoon Channel.
Okay.
This is on Showtime, and it's called Dexter. And it's about a serial killer.
Cheerios?
No, he doesn't kill Cheerios or Tony the Tiger or anything like that. He stalks Tony the Tiger and Captain
Cheerios.
Crunch. And
I kill me some Cheerios. Love those.
Honeycomb guy. Hey, what was the Honeycomb guy's name?
Huh?
Remember the big guy? Was that Andre the Giant?
Tony and guy?
No, Honeycomb. Wasn't that Andre the Giant?
Haircutting place. Salon. Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant.
He's dead.
Yeah, I know he's dead now. When I was a kid, he was with the Honeycomb.
Yeah.
Because it was so big.
I vaguely remember that, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, whatever.
It's before they brought the bee in.
There's a bee?
In Honeycombs.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess that makes sense. I thought the bee was on Cheerios because it's a touch of honey.
Oh, maybe it is.
A taste of honey.
What? I don't know.
I don't even know anymore. Now they got the squirrel on that other one.
What squirrel?
Yeah, they got a squirrel on one of the cereal boxes now. Nuts and honey or something like that?
We should get some royalties off of that.
We should get some royalties off of that.
Yeah.
Huh. And what do you eat for breakfast? Nut and honey. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, you should have breakfast. I am. Well, what are you eating? Nut and honey. I just said you should have breakfast. That whole business.
Do you remember the whatchamacallit commercial? Okay.
Yeah?
The whatchamacallit commercial was, smells peanutty. What do you call it? Whatchamacallit? No, hold on.
Oh, come on. You had this memorized before. You've done it on the show 3 or 4 times.
I know it. Smells peanutty. What do you call it? Whatchamacallit? Whatchamacallit? That's right. What's right? The name? What name? Whatchamacallit? You forgot the name? That's a genius piece of advertising.
That's genius.
That's been 20 plus years. If I didn't have a cold, I'd remember it straight off.
Yeah, you're sinking fast, dude. We need to hurry.
And so, okay, so anyway, what was it? Serial killer.
Dexter the serial killer.
I'd kill me some cereal.
But he's the hero of the show. Here we go. Whatchamacallit? You forgot the name? Sorry, I had to adjust my microphone. Dexter is a serial killer, but he's a good guy. He's the hero of the show. He's not a good guy. He's a hero of the show.
He's a killer, and he's a hero of the
show. He works in the pathology lab or something, and he finds these bad guys. He finds out who's a killer, who's a bad guy who tortures people. You know, he finds bad guys, and then he goes and tortures them to death and enjoys it and loves it. And he's a full-fledged serial killer, but he uses his evil to accomplish something. He justifies his evil by doing it. Only exerting it on evil or whatever. The same thing with the vampire. Remember the vampire show? The Lestat. No, it wasn't a show. It was a movie. You know, the interview with the vampire. But Anne Rice wrote a bunch of books about
it. Right.
And the hero of that show was Lestat. Lestat fed on evil. He fed on evil people. And that somehow made him okay to write about as a hero of the story, even though he was a vampire.
Right. And you're saying that's unethical?
Right. I'm saying they're writing the story. Yeah, with no concern for biblical ethics, there's no biblical ethic in the story. There's just the simple pragmatic of this is what people will accept. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, even though it's not necessarily...
People will accept it because I'm doing it to evil people. I'm having evil kill evil, therefore it's acceptable without any thought to, well, what's... But it's not... But still, even though he's still unethical...
The way I understand it, the danger there is to bring people into a line of thinking in which they see something as something that's good and worthy of doing, when in reality it's not. It's an activity. It kind of messes with your mind, as to what your judgment is on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Trying to make decisions about how you should conduct yourself or how you should live, and then you get kind of in this tailspin, and the next thing you know, you're making bad decisions.
And right now, we're seeing that we're in a mixed generation, right? Because part of us have been, part of us have been raised under biblical ethics from our parents, and part of us have not. You know, we can look around in society now and see those. They may be even raised in Christian homes, but we're not taught biblical ethics.
Right.
They were taught pragmatical ethics, how to stay out of trouble. And then you see them in their teen years. You see them in their teen years, and right now you're seeing them in their teens and 20s. And they are very much living a lifestyle of, hey, whatever I can get away with is okay.
Right.
As long as I stay out of trouble, I can do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. And, so you have these, you have the issues that you see around today. It's crazy.
I never thought about it like that.
So we've got to be sure, we've got to be careful to instill biblical ethics in our children and be sure that they know where they come from. They can't just be our rules, right?
Yeah.
We've got to make sure that they see us in the Bible, that they know that we're getting our ethics, our system for ethics from the Bible, and that it pertains to everybody, whether that everybody pays attention to them or not.
Right. Something bigger than us.
Right, exactly.
Bigger than ourselves. All right.
Because eventually they're going to find out Dad didn't know it all.
Oh, yeah, they're going to figure that out for sure.
But the sooner they figure that out and they figure out that, yes, but he's listening to somebody who does, then the better off you are. Because nobody likes a boss who is, a tyrannical type of boss, right?
Yeah, I'm not loving it.
but to work for somebody who you can tell is serving your good by simply, giving you a place to work and trying to help you out and be, I don't get into that. That's a whole other topic of servant leadership. So I'll just leave it aside.
All right, good, because we're out of time anyway.
And that's our serious topic for today.
There. Ding, 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 ding.
All over. Okay, you can turn your pod thingy back on again.
All right. You're going to have to close this out because I don't think I can talk.
You're about done, dude. Scary. I heard the other day that some people are listening to us. Some people are listening to us by actually downloading our shows onto a record player, like actual vinyl, and then playing us back on vinyl.
Why would they do that?
Because we're so old school that they prefer to listen to us that way.
Well, we got, you know, Snap, Crackle, and Pop. So, why not do it on a record?
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, they're probably copyrighted or something. I'll take that out later.
All right, well, tonight I'm going to... I'm going to feed Chaz hot water and massage his neck and give him
two blind squares. They're good.
Sorry, a lozenge of some type, and see if we can get him going for tomorrow. Otherwise, it'll just be me. Bye, everybody.
Two blind squares. They're gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. "Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior." Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.